Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Brother Ralph, are you there?
Good evening, brother. Yes, I am.
Praise the Lord. And I bet Pastor Cox is there, too. Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard from Oklahoma. And a cold Oklahoma, but I'll bet it's cold up there, too.
Well, we've had some cold temperatures. We were, Tuesday morning, we were about 4 below 0. But it was a lot warmer today, got up to about 36, maybe 40, and so just great. God is good. Good blue skies the last couple days. We had to do some outside work today, and he gave us a beautiful day to do it in the middle of January, so praise the Lord. I got your text.
Yeah.
I see your caller, so when Miss Amy calls in, I'll sure let you know, brother.
Sounds good.
Sure. Thank
Rich,
you.
Where are you, Ralph, tonight?
I'm in my living room tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good place to be on a cold evening. You've had
it
some snow up there, haven't you?
We did. When snow hits the Ozarks like it did, it shuts things down. And I've got a philosophy that if school's been canceled in the area I was going to work, I don't go because more than likely the people that work there aren't there. So I've just taken a couple of days off. Being here at home with the family. So, but I'll get back out on the road tomorrow. We did. We had about 7 inches of snow and sub-zero temperatures. It got down below 3 degrees, 3 below 0 last night, and that's cold for here in the Ozarks.
It's cold anywhere, I think.
It's cold anywhere. I'm looking forward to, by the end of the weekend, we're supposed to be back up at the 60s, so I imagine by Friday
Yes. It'll
be melted. But it is welcome. The Lord brought the good weather in its season because we have been really dry. We've been in the middle of a drought down here, and we were needing the moisture. So praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's great. Praise God.
How'd this Monday go?
Well, we just had 10 cases. That was quite a change from the 23 cases we had the week before. But, of course, we were closed on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. So the people kind of saved up, I guess. We had that big 20 23 people, but just 10 last night. Went very well. We, of course, had a minister for each person, and a lot of happy people left. And in fact, calling in at 35 after the hour is the man I happened to minister to Monday night, and he's going to tell what all went on.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that he went through deliverance and is within a couple of days ready to give his testimony. So he must have seen a big difference to want to do that in just 2 days.
It was a classic evening of doing the steps and seeing them work. You know, these steps that we've learned to do over these, well, 39 years I've been doing it, and 34 years now that the ministry's been doing it. Well, they certainly are time-tested, and they will work. We've seen it work over and over. We figure we help a good 90-95% of the people that come, and so we just keep doing it. There's much need out there, and we've hardly, scratched the surface with what's needed, and that's why we're on the radio show tonight, is to share what we've learned about this and how we see it work. And there's no better way to share it than testimonies. Nobody can argue with a testimony when the person says, here's the way I was, here I am now. Talk about what went on when they were ministered to. Well, that's a lot of people have different theologies on this area of the gospel, but it's hard to argue with those testimonies.
It is hard to argue with the testimonies. I believe it was the man who was told to pick up his pallet and walk by Jesus, and the Pharisees came to him and says, who told you to do that on the Sabbath? And he said, this man came and he healed me and he told me to walk. I mean, that's just that was a fantastic testimony. Here those Pharisees were pointing their fingers at him and saying, how dare you do this and this? And then a wonderful thing happened right there. A man who could not walk, couldn't get down to the pool. If I remember right, he couldn't get down to the pool of the waters, which is interesting about how the angel would come down and stir up those waters and people could be healed. And he was told, get up and walk. And he did, and it happened right there and then. And those were things that happened then. And guess what, everybody? The word is still true. If we turn, I just discussed this last night with my children. Let me turn right there real quick. I believe it's in John 14 or 15. 14:12, still there. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. What a promise. Red letter word.
Amen.
I mean,
amen.
He did not leave Christians unarmed. He gave them the ability to do the works that he did. He came down to set the captives free. And that man who was held captive to the fact he couldn't walk was set free that day. And look forward to the day that happens where there's not a wheelchair again in this world.
And Jesus said to do even greater works.
That's hard to imagine.
Right. I'm pretty excited to come close to doing the works of Jesus. What he said were to do his same works and even greater works. And I assume he meant more time. I mean, Jesus was here doing his ministry, like 3.5 years or so. And we typically have more years other than that, so certainly time-wise, our scores add up over these years.
Yes. Well, I'm just happy to do anything that he did. It's hard.
Amen.
To say that we'll be able to do greater things than he. Pastor, I got a question. It was brought to me by a brother in Christ. It was asked today. I think it was a pretty sincere question. I had mentioned last weekend on the program that when we use the tool of some call it praying in the Spirit or speaking in tongues, there's the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. I had said, I don't know what I'm saying, but the demons seem to know, or they know. And he asked if that was backed up in Scripture, and I had me think about it. And I deduced this, that if there is a language of angels, and a lot of the demonic realm, not sure where they come from. There's some theology say they're the fallen angels out of heaven. Some say they're the copulation of the offspring of angels with the daughters of men. I don't know, but it deduces to me that that if there is an unknown language of angels, but the angels understand it, the demonic realm almost understand it. But I know that from my personal experience, which you've told me as well, that demons in their interrogation tell us they don't like it when someone prays in the tongues.
Yes, they say it hurts them.
Yes, hurt them. Could you maybe elaborate a little bit on that? I got to thinking a little bit about the scripture where the apostles couldn't cast out that one demon, and Jesus was kind of vague, and he said, well, this kind of spirit doesn't come out by much prayer and fasting. And he didn't say what kind of prayer, so I've often wondered if it was a prayer that was needed in the spiritual, if it was putting ourselves a little bit more in order, being a little more spiritually minded than earthly minded. Jesus was kind of vague on it, so these are some thoughts that I've had on that for some time. What exactly did he mean on that? But I have seen where, in my own experience, where I was trying to cast a spirit out of somebody and nothing was coming, and when I prayed in the spirit, I don't know if it's they understand what's being said or if it's the fact that we have access to a power that they can't overcome when we do that, but they seem to come out at times with someone trained in a tongue versus just commanding in our language of English.
Yes, certainly it hurts them. And I remember one time I was ministering to a man in deliverance, and I started praying in tongues, and this demon speaking through the guy's mouth said, "Don't speak in the tongues." Well, when the demon said that through this guy's mouth, I got closer to his ear and up the volume, and finally blew on out as I prayed in the tongue. So I know it hurts him. And then I told this story before, but about a year and a half ago, I was ministering to a pastor from Enid, Oklahoma, and I had the head demon up. I was interrogating it, but it volunteered something at one point. It said that when speaking about the pastor, it was speaking out of the pastor's mouth, and it said this about the pastor: when he speaks in tongues, it hurts us. And then it added this: he quit speaking in tongues about 2 weeks, and we had a vacation. Well, the lesson to me was maybe I'd better be speaking in tongues more than I have been, because I sure want to hurt them a lot. And there's no downside to speaking in tongues, so you can look at it that way. I do remember another situation of where on occasion, it's pretty rare, but I've seen demons speak in a satanic tongue, and it's pretty easy to tell the difference. It clashes with your spirit. It clangs, it clashes. It's not the tongue through the Holy Spirit. And there was a demon manifesting, and it started speaking in a satanic tongue. Well, I jumped on it in my tongue, in God's tongue, and it finally drove it out that way. So there's a lot of ways to use it. Of course, Paul said it edifies you. Well, we want to be edified. We want all the anointing. Certainly the anointing builds as we speak in tongues, and that would kind of go along with that one. And you know, we're praying to God what needs to be prayed. Well, that could be very useful in deliverance. Obviously, we want to stay in contact with our Almighty God, and by praying in tongues, all that seems to be happening. So it's a great tool in a Christian walk. I just praise God somebody shared that with me, and I received it on June 17th of 1978. I haven't been the same since. So I always recommend it.
Well, that's thank you for the commentary on that, brother. If you are listening, if there's any other questions, feel free to shoot me a text or even let me know tomorrow or the next day, and I'll try to get with Pastor some more on those if those don't answer some of the questions. But I believe Amy, we have her on the air. Amy, are you there?
I am. Good evening.
Thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Everett.
Hi. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
and a short notice somewhat.
Yeah.
But, Amy, if you could go ahead and give us some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you first heard about deliverance, and then when you came for deliverance, you would be comfortable in sharing what went on and if you felt some stuff come out that you figure spirits and seen if you've seen any problems disappear that you had before. But just go right along and share there, Amy. We're excited to hear it.
Sure. Well, I was raised in church and I was saved as a little girl. And I was raised in Pentecostal churches. And I stayed in that up until about my teenage years, and then I kind of went trying to find other things and other answers, and just through the circumstances of life, I would always go back to God. You know, I knew I could always turn to God, and I always trusted the Bible. And, you know, I'm in my 40s, so as a teenager in the 80s, you know, I saw a lot of pastors fall. And so I didn't really trust just church in general. And so, but I knew I could go to the Word. And so every time I'd come back, I'd go a little deeper in the Word and a little deeper, and I'd start going to churches. And really how I got to deliverance was I had found a church and had been going to it and was happy with it, but it really wasn't comfortable. I mean, it's a really personal thing, you know, to think, oh my gosh, you know, I know I'm a Christian, but there's something else going on, and what is this? And it's not good, you know. And my thing was, is I'd had a lot of issues in my family, and there was a lot of anger. And I knew I had to forgive, and I knew I shouldn't be so angry, but I couldn't. It was like there was a wall, and I can only get so far with it. And I reached out to a mentor, and through that I actually got connected with some biblical counseling. And through that I learned about the trichotomy of man, you know, the body, mind, soul, or body, spirit, soul, you know, the division mm-hmm. of the three. And that helped me understand, okay, well, this can be happening to a Christian. Because the thing was mm-hmm. that it wasn't just anger, it was rage. It was absolutely rage. And I actually was praying, and I could feel inside me, like in my stomach, like a rolling kind of thing.
Kind of
like butterflies, but a little more intense. And I was just like, okay, this is, I don't know what this is, but I don't like it. and I knew my word, you know. I knew my word, and I knew, you know, that I could use the name of Jesus. And I knew that, and so I did this at home. And sure enough, you know, I just prayed and commanded whatever it was to go. I didn't know, you know, I knew it was going to go somewhere because the word says, you know, it's going to leave and it's going to try to come back. And if your house isn't clean, it's going to bring, you know, seven more with it. So I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, go where the Holy Spirit tells you to go, you know, and honestly, that happened three different times, but I knew there was more, and so I started reaching out to these people that I knew that I were informed more about different ministries, and I started asking them about deliverance, and so I started, you know, looking into not only your ministry, but some other ministries here locally, just kind of doing research and where I could trust. And what I found was that there's a lot of people trying to get deliverance. They were booked up, And I was so happy to find out that you were doing this every week. You know, that was a blessing to me, because to know that, you know, you've got something that shouldn't be in you, it's not like, oh, I can wait a month for that. Like, it's an uncomfortable thing to know.
Yeah.
At the very least, mm-hmm. You know. So I was definitely ready to be done with everything. And when I went, you know, and I had been working on my forgiveness and asking God to show me, you know, what is it? What am I not forgiving somebody? Am I not, you know, am I hanging on to jealousy? Because, you know, in the counseling, I'd kind of learned about door openers. And I just couldn't find it. And going through everything that night at your ministry, like, that was a very thorough thing. And it wasn't just one or two that I felt left. It was multiple. And
mm-hmm.
The great thing, and this was a week ago Monday, so even since then, I've noticed a huge difference. And I noticed a difference, you know, when I did it at home, but there's power when we come together, you know, where two or three agree, you know, he's there with us, and that made a difference. It absolutely made a difference. And go ahead.
And, you know, if the doors are open, of course, as we've learned, you might cast spirits out, but if there are certain doors open, it's likely those spirits will circle around and come back in a week or two. So that's probably what you were experiencing. It took us a few years to get hold of understand that these spirits so typically are coming through some door. There's 15
yeah.
doors we recognize, and so we go through that door closing prayer before ministry. That's a blanket attempt to get those doors closed the best we can before ministry.
Yeah,
and
I
in the door closing prayer.
Oh yeah, no, it was such a relief to be with people that knew what they were doing. You know, I knew. Knowing that you can use the name of Jesus, that's a powerful thing. But
yes.
not knowing how to use it, you know, it's a serious subject, you know, and it's a serious issue. And I think maybe that's why people don't maybe talk about it as much as I personally think they should be doing, you know, because people need to know that, hey, you don't have to live like this. You know, I was hitting a wall with my relationships, with, you know, I was trying to control the anger and the rage, but it was just a point. And I started noticing, actually, last week that even, like, when my dog, you know, I'd be telling my dog to be quiet or something, I would gnash my teeth. I'd get so mad, I'd be gnashing my teeth. And I noticed, why I'm not doing that anymore. You know, I'm like, my driving has changed. So many, just little ways, but they all add up to so much. It's really been amazing.
Driving range, you know, is how some people have that rage in the car with traffic here and there. And did you have some of that even, Amy?
Oh yeah. Oh definitely. And mm-hmm. just driving fast, and I would joke that, you know, I was an offensive driver, not a defensive driver, you know, and you know, we make light about, oh, I have anger issues, and you know, but the reality of that is it's harmful, and it's so detrimental to relationships, and it really is a wall, and it really does block not only what you can give, but what you can receive. And to get to break that wall down and have it gone is, I mean, the way even my children respond to me and the way, you know, I deal with them, and just it's all very different. There's a peace there, and there's a, you know, that wall is down. I don't really know how else to explain it.
Praise God. But when the anger and rage and any of the other spirits came out, Amy, did you feel them moving around and coming out, or what went on?
Oh, yeah. I could feel that, you know, kind of churning in my stomach. I could feel that actually moving up. And the lady that I was working with, Lupe, she actually had a little kind of, I don't know, like, maybe 5 or 6 inch tall Bible, and I had that in my hand because some of them came out very easily, and I would just kind of cough or even burp. It sounds silly,
yeah,
but that's
well,
what happened.
It's common.
But there were some when I was struggling, I could feel them, or it, you know, I don't know if it was an individual thing or what. It's so hard to speak on this because I feel so ignorant of the terms, and I have to say I would like to learn more so I could help more people. But anyway, when I would put the word on my stomach, it would cause them to move further up, you know, to come out of my mouth, you know, to cough them out. And it's not that I didn't throw up anything, but I could feel the exit. It was definitely something I could feel, yeah.
Well, that's awesome, and that's quite common, actually. The majority of people experience what you just described pretty much. It's quite common. Well, most people we found usually unload around 36. What do you think your score was?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know, but it was... I really can't even guess. I was so focused on the being sincere, but yet grasping that authority that I don't know. It was multiple. I don't know, maybe a dozen. I honestly don't know. But I know that, you know, I think a big thing is you have to really be honest with yourself, and you know, and God will show you those areas and those doors, because it's, you know, when you go through life and you don't take the time to stop and really kind of evaluate yourself, there's no telling what you're carrying around. I mean, there really isn't. Grudges or jealousy or, you know, so many things. It's worth it to stop and, you know, ask God to search your heart. He will. He'll show you.
And, of course, the fun part is when several dozen or so are cast out, the guy has to be better, you know, since
those spirits
are not there for your health. And how good did you feel when those things are finally all cast out?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, it was so noticeable. Just my body in general felt better. It wasn't just my attitudes or my, you know, frame of mind. It was my whole body felt better. And in fact, I was sitting on a couch, and I've kind of had some back issues. But man, I hopped out of that couch, and I even made the comment, wow, I'm kind of surprised I got out of that so easily. You know, that's a deep couch. I usually have problems with couch furniture like that. And it just is an overall cleansing. I mean, that's what it is.
Did your back get healed in the process? Your back, was it healed?
I've had a lot of healing, actually, since. And my spine and hips and knees and joints, and it's been quite miraculous, I have to say.
Sounds to me, Amy, like you've got a Jesus overhaul.
Oh, and needed it. Needed it, definitely.
And, Amy, think how many people are out there just like you that never get ministered to along these lines in the deliverance area. They've got the generational spirits on them, and, of course, spirits have come through. Some of these doors are amazingly easy to open, especially the unforgiveness door. And then they live their lives with three dozen some odd spirits. They go to heaven, but they really didn't live life abundant that Jesus meant for them to have. And so I see it now. That's why Jesus commanded believers to cast these things out, like in Mark 16:17, and to do the same works that Jesus did, John 14:12. Well, because most people have got them. They've come through those doors, the generational doors and all, and they never had the joy of being free and the real person to the surface all the time. It's just like that spirit of anger and rage, when it would surface, well, that was kind of, that wasn't fun, was it?
Well, no. In fact, there was actually, you know, when I would get upset and emotional, I would instantly have thoughts of suicide. And I wasn't suicidal. And that was kind of my first clue, because I was like, you know, it bothered me for years. I went through this. And then I realized, well, I'm not suicidal. You know, I'm not depressed. I don't know why I'm thinking this. And that's kind of what clued me into, this isn't me. You know, this is something else. So,
Those are kind of clues.
The enemy actually
blew its cover, didn't it?
Hey, well, you know, absolutely. But, you know, it takes time, like I say, to, you know, stop and take the time and think why. You know, when I started asking, why am I doing this? Why am I doing these things? You know, that really was the beginning of searching myself and letting God search my heart. That was huge.
Yeah. Praise God. That's awesome. Well, that's, have you been able to share some of your experiences where some others are starting to think about getting this kind of ministry?
I actually have some family that deal with addiction, and I've shared with people close to me. I don't know if you talk about it or not, but the fact that you teach this and it's so needed. Mm-hmm. It's just so needed. And
yes.
I definitely want to be more knowledgeable on the how-to, because it is more than, I mean, yeah, of course you have to know the word, and of course it is all, you know, the power of Jesus. But,
Amy,
you know,
are you thinking about going through the ministry or the training then?
I am. Yeah.
All right. Praise God. And, you know, that's where most of our teams have come from, is they got ministry and then they had a compassion, realizing so many people had those same kind of problems and they wanted to learn. Ralph, did I hear you say something there?
Well, I said that was good that she wants to do that. I'll tell you what, Amy, I've never met you or ever talked to you before this evening, but you have a joy about your voice right now.
And yeah.
I think the people that are around you, they're going to see the testimony just in the glow and the joy that's around you right now.
Because
It's coming across. It's coming through the radio program. It's coming through the... You can hear it.
That's
you can hear it through the telephone. So, in fact, I have trouble imagining you having any rage whatsoever. This voice will sound.
Yeah, we can tell you're pumped, Amy.
Well, that's an awesome compliment. Thank you. It's all welcome. Jesus. God gets all the glory for all of it. So.
And don't worry about not knowing or anything, because the only difference between you and Pastor Everett or myself or even the Apostle Peter is they just more experience. You have the same power and access to that power that we have. And
that's
the Holy
right.
Spirit is the great teacher, and it's promised that when you need him, he'll be there.
Well, I
Any
believe
Christian
it.
Can learn to
absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's
well,
in the Word.
You,
so that's what I believe, absolutely.
Your blessing. Thank you for sharing that great testimony, Amy, and look forward to you going through the training and becoming one of our team leaders. I can tell you're excited and enthusiastic, and
absolutely.
I can see you making a good team leader quickly.
Oh, well, thank you, and you know, thank you for what you do and being out there, and it's appreciated.
Well,
you guys have a good night,
you, Amy.
All right, bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for calling. She sounded great.
Oh yeah,
fantastic! That was a fantastic testimony. You could literally see the smile from her when she was talking.
Yes, you could.
And she gave a pretty common testimony there when she said that even her children were different.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
that's often the case. You know, we've seen that so much that we even recommend that parents go through deliverance first. You know, when they're having problems with the children, because usually those generational curses are there, and especially younger children that are under the spiritual authority yet of the parents. Gosh, when the parents get ministry, then the child often doesn't need it.
Well, there's several times in deliverance that all spirits are cut off at the point of conception and cannot pass through you. They can't pass through the
yeah.
blood of Jesus onto your seed or to your children or even your grandchildren. So when it's generational and you can cut it off at the pass at where you are, it'd just be nearly impossible for a spirit to continue on. And, you know, I know we had a situation where I worked with a girl a couple weeks ago, and the head demon told me that he was there on assignment to destroy her and her relationship with her daughter, and she gave a testimony that her daughter's even different after she went through deliverance. So that's
a pretty
common testimony. I've heard it before with several. We've had several people come on the program over the last 2 years, so it's a common testimony. Another common testimony is feeling great, never felt that great before. Another common testimony is I had the best night's sleep I've had in years. I hear that all the time. Anybody that's gone through deliverance, I hear that.
And they feel lighter.
I feel lighter, of course, and that one as well, too. So,
well, guys, we got, let's see, I think John's on the line. Let me bring John on.
Okay.
Let me bring him in here. Yeah, good evening, John. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, great. Thanks for calling, John. Ralph's on here with me. He's up in near Branson there. And appreciate you calling in.
You're very welcome.
Well, John, if you know, our simple format is if you could just give some history on yourself and when you were born again, and then how you heard about deliverance, and then what it was like when you went through ministry and the changes you may have seen in your life. So why don't you just go ahead and share?
Well, as everybody knows, my name is John. I was born in June of 1988 in Muskogee, Oklahoma. We moved to Shawnee, Oklahoma when I was about 18 months old. There were some problems in the household. My father was an alcoholic, and he would tend to get violent. Well, when we moved in with my grandparents whenever, like I said, when I was about 18 months old, and I've pretty much been here my whole life. I don't remember too much of my childhood as far as my younger days, but I could sense a lot of anger from an early age, probably around 8, 9 years old. I remember being angry a lot and lashing out towards my mother and other family members. I remember multiple incidents where I would have violent tendencies towards other people and towards myself even sometimes. From the age of 9 till about 13, my mother, you know, she worked 2 jobs. She was a single parent, and I had a cousin that would watch me a lot while my mom was at work and things like that. And from about the age of 9 till about 13, he sexually abused me. And that created a major void in my life.
Yeah.
It made it to where I didn't trust people. I just wanted to be alone because I didn't know who I could trust. So I pretty much shut down. I didn't seek friends. I stayed away from my mom as much as possible for one simple fact. I just didn't want her asking questions. So the more I stayed away from her, the easier it was to just trap that stuff in and try to shut it out. When I was in the 8th grade, I have two older siblings, both of them sisters. I'm the youngest. I'm the only boy. I was very close to my middle sister. We had a great relationship. She was my ears, I guess, because I knew anything that I told her, it wouldn't go anywhere. But then again, I didn't announce to anybody, not even her, the things that were going on in my childhood. But when I was in the 8th grade, she was killed by a drunk driver on a motorcycle. And that trauma, it just added fuel to that fire. And
yeah,
from that point, I began picking up drugs and alcohol and pretty much anything I could get my hands on to, so to speak, not feel anymore. I didn't know how to deal with any of that. I didn't, like I said, my mom, she was the greatest. But then again, she had a family to provide for, and so she was gone a lot, you know. So she was in my life, but she wasn't in my life enough to where I even felt comfortable talking to her about things.
Yeah.
And so I felt alone for the longest time. And so, but all that bottled up trauma from my adolescent years, it became like a pot of water on top of the stove. You know, it just starts boiling and boiling, and sooner or later, you know, that stuff starts to boil over. And that's kind of how it played out in my life. You know, all this stuff started boiling over into relationships with family, with women. I went a very long time where I would not allow myself to get emotionally attached to a woman, to even have a good relationship. So what that turned into was a lot of sinful things, like, you know, sexual desire, and that was it. We would, you know, I could not have a relationship. I couldn't trust a person because of all this stuff that I had inside of me. It was trapping me. Well, you know, and that went on for a long time until I was probably 22, and then I met my wife. And, you know, I actually met my wife in that same kind of situation where I did not want to be emotionally attached to this person, but for some reason, you know, there was just something that I couldn't get away from. But for the longest time, I still couldn't allow myself to be attached to that person. So we didn't get married for the longest time. You know, we had three kids outside of marriage, and you know, my wife, she's always been a believer, and for the first 2 years of our relationship, I couldn't understand what she was talking about. It my mind would just block it out. So we built this relationship to where she kind of didn't talk to me about anything, and I didn't talk to her about anything. We had our own things going on, and we spent a lot of time to where we would just butt heads constantly about God and about, you know, the lifestyle I was living versus the lifestyle she was trying to live. But you know, then I didn't look at it the way that I do now. I looked at it as like, well, you can live your life however you want to. I'm going to live mine however. I didn't realize that the effects of my lifestyle would go on to her. So it caused a very bad, bitter relationship towards each other, but we stuck it out. And, you know, she constantly said, you know, she would constantly just fill me with word and stuff, even when I didn't want it. Well, about 2 years into our relationship, you know, I started going to church with her. Let me back up a little bit. When about a year before I met my wife, my mother, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Well, so my mom, she was never really a religious woman, because my grandmother, she attended church and was religious. But I had an ill feeling towards God because of how my grandmother would portray God to be this bad guy. You know, I didn't never know him as a loving God through my whole childhood. It made him seem like a bad guy to me personally. So I said, if this is who God is, I don't want no part of that. And so I lived my life like that for a long time. Well, when my mother, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, you know, she really started, it's kind of funny. The first time I found out that she was trying to, I guess, get her life right with God. I walked into her house and she had, I can't recall if it was Joyce Myers, or she was listening to a televangelist, and I've never seen my mom be that kind of person. And I walked in and I was like, what are you doing? And she looked at me and she said, well, sooner or later, we've all got to face our maker. She said, when I face my maker, I want to have some good check marks next to my name. And it kind of made me laugh at the time, but I kind of blew that off. Well, she was constantly talking to me about God, and between her and my mom, you know, that's kind of when I started hearing about a loving God, and I was like, well, hold on, this isn't what I know of God. You know, here's what I know of God. You know, this is what I've heard, but it was all false. You know. One thing that I learned was there is a loving God out there.
Yes,
but
amen.
Another thing that I had to learn was God's will is His will, and He is not going to force us to follow His will. He wants us to be in His will because we want to be in His will. So it takes action on our part. You know, the Bible says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. It doesn't say vice versa.
John, how did you then finally hear about deliverance? We've got about 6 minutes or so left. How did you first hear about this area of the gospel? It's called deliverance.
My father-in-law, actually, he had attended it a few years back when it was at a different location, and he's actually been telling me about this for a long time, for a few years now. And you know, me and my wife have been going through some issues, and you know, it was something that I did not want to do, but it was something that I felt like I needed to. And so I went, and I won't lie, I was kind of upset the whole way there. But when going through the process of deliverance, it was the most amazing thing that I've ever felt in my life. You know, I felt after it was over with, I felt complete almost. All them voids that I have been filling with bad things my whole life, they were gone, and they were replaced with something. I had just this amazing peace over me.
Praise God. Could you feel the spirits coming out? And how do you know they were there?
Absolutely. It felt every time we did an ungodly soul tie when we was breaking those. Every time we did one, I felt a little lighter and a little lighter and a little lighter. And like I told you then, it was almost like I was getting dizzy because it was just so overwhelming at each point. And but the peace was there. And it just kept getting better and kept getting better. It was amazing.
We got hold of the, we asked the Lord to take you back to the root of the anger, the earliest source. And He took you back to where that anger came in, and we did inner healing on it. And that was a tremendous step in the right direction.
Yes, it was. It was, absolutely.
And let's see, we got the head demon up too, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
The leader demon, and that's kind of a shortcut. Instead of working the whole list, we could go right into the and fleshed up the head demon, verified it was a head demon, pinned it down, and it disclosed some lies it was telling you, and even your God-given gifts, and how many demons were, I think there was, 15 under it, if I remember right?
Yes.
And once we determined there were no more legal rights or assignments that had not been canceled, and we were able to package them up and send them out. And then when we did the limb check, you even had a short leg adjust, didn't you? You had a back problem, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, and that
there quickly.
Well, for a while now, I've been having some bad nerve pain in my back, and it would shoot down the back of my leg, and it's been like that for months now. And yeah, I never thought to check if I felt like I was walking with a limp, but I never thought to check if one of my legs was actually shorter than the other. Well, when we did that, it actually was. And I mean, it's not anymore.
Well, how about the pain?
How about what?
The pain. Has the pain gone now that you have?
I haven't felt anything at all. I've actually been able to work harder, been able to move around a lot better. I haven't felt anything. I feel great.
And then you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues.
I did. I've actually been doing that every day now.
Praise God. Well, and it sounds to me like you got your Jesus overhauled.
I did. 100% I did.
Hallelujah. Well,
and I praise God for the things that He's doing in my life. And I heard y'all speaking about somebody about their relationships with everybody else, and since I've went through that, you know, not only my attitude has changed, but everybody that's around me's attitude has changed.
The people You'll probably find, wonder what happened.
Yeah.
Well, you'll find, John, that the demonic realms communicates in a way that we can't hear and see. So there could have been spirits that were you that were affecting other people. So when those spirits are gone, there's no longer that affection or that connection or communications going on anymore.
Yes. Well, that's exciting. Well, in the remaining time we have here, John, what would you say to the listeners as we wind up here?
I would say that I personally recommend everybody that is trying to create a stronger walk with God, or trying to find out why their walk is not going right, I would recommend that anybody go to deliverance and experience it. I've told even pastors that have been preaching for a long time that I've got pastors that even want to go check this out, because I mean it's not just something for somebody that's trying to fix themselves. It's something that's going to draw you closer to God.
Amen.
Amen.
So true. That's awesome. Amen. John.
Well, we're out of time, gentlemen. Thank you for coming on this evening, John. And Pastor.
No problem.
As always, we'll see you next
God
week.
God bless you.
All right. Thank you for joining
us. God bless y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died.